Yeah, we're ready.
Mr. Ringsted texted me this morning. He will not be joining on this morning. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Prus.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Therian.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell. Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
And Mr. Ringsted is absent.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
Is that affirmative?
Yes.
Okay. First up is Ordinance 6323, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 46, Article 4, offenses involving nuisances, adding regulations limiting the time period temporary signs, including political signs, can be displayed within the city of Fairbanks, advanced to September 8th. Ms. Sprinkle, you wanted to have a conversation, so
let's continue
our conversation.
Okay, so I will say that I spoke to our mayor of the borough mayor, and he did not know that they had this on their code, so that was interesting for them to learn, and that I believe they're going to look further into this as well. I think we had discussions about how this would be enforced, and I was wondering if, just offhand, while Jared was in his duties of searching around the city, if he could at least be the guy to say, oh, there's a sign, we could contact the campaign. That would be all it took. And maybe I'm being naive, but I thought that would be a simple phone call to make and say, you're early, you're late, and let's get rid of the visual litter. I think within 6 months or whatever that number is, it should be plenty enough for us to political signs up. And that would be that's where I leave it. That's my conversation right now. Anybody else? Discussion?
So you're continuing with this?
Uh-huh.
Do you realize what's going to happen?
I would hope that
we're not worried about Barbara Haney's sign.
No, not a bit.
Guess what staff will have to call? They'll have to call Mrs. Kawasaki.
Fine.
That's the one we have the most complaints on.
On
personal, private property.
I am not picking on sides. I just think there's plenty of time that we can do our job, run our campaigns, and be done. I don't have any fight in this one for that. I just don't love many, many, many signs that linger for 2 years. I saw the one down the street a couple weeks ago that was from 3 years ago. It has been removed. So again, this is just me throwing it out for discussion. I don't have to do any more than that. But I have been contacted. This is not my concern. I've had other people phone call and email.
What was the conversation with Mayor Hopkins like?
He had no idea that this was on the books.
And what I see is in 2 years, no one will have no idea that this is on the books.
Well, if no one talks about it, they won't know about it. I guess if there's no recourse, then I don't know that people would stop doing it. If there's no reason to have, then we should take it off the books at the borough, right?
You would think so, but that's doubtful going to happen. Ms. Therian.
I think that both the city clerk and the borough clerk, when people are picking up their paperwork to file, could easily advise them of these ordinances. So I think, I don't think it hurts to have this on the books.
Any other discussion before I move on? Seeing none, item number three, Ordinance 6324, an ordinance enacting Fairbanks General Code Section 2-65, Chief of Staff Authorities. Mr. Sanders, why don't you bring us through this?
There really hasn't been any change from the other times that we've seen this. Mr. Cleworth and I, Mr. Cleworth wanted a amendment to say that the CFO would be in charge if I wasn't around. My suggestion, and I believe Mr. Cleworth was agreed to it, was that that rather than saying that designate one person, that we say that, you know, I have the ability to delegate my authorities when I'm absent, just as the mayor does. And the only reason I say that is right now we have an amazing CFO, but that hasn't always been the case since I've worked here. And before Mr. Meeks always used the HR director instead of the CFO. So I think that the next chief of staff should have the ability to pick who would be his or her replacement if they're absent.
Any discussion?
Question.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So If it's for a bit, does the council ever say, yeah, that's a great idea, or if we didn't love your choice, is that a thing?
No, this is, I mean, I report directly to the mayor.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if there was a process in that, because I know we do it for the mayor, correct, after a bit? Okay.
Mr. Clayworth?
Mike, were you going to substitute an amended version for 6324 then?
We can do that for sure, sir.
Okay, yeah, I mean, put in the language that you want there. I just wanted to go one step farther so that, because that does happen from time to time.
Oh, for sure. You know, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, we'll move on. Item five is?
Number four.
Four, rather. Ordinance 6325, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Section 2-63. Succession to office of the acting mayor, section 2-64, salary of the acting mayor advanced to September 8th. Mr. Sanders.
Again, this one, there hasn't been much of a change on this, I don't believe. I know Tom did a lot of research, and did you have anything that you wanted to add to it, Tom?
Just, I recall that there was some discussion about the salary and whether or not we were going to prorate it or if there was some other amount, and if that's something that we need to work up for Monday's meeting, we might need a little more direction on that. Otherwise, yeah, that was the change I was tracking that folks were looking at.
Ms. Therrien.
Yeah, I think I had brought that up, that it might be a nightmare for Margarita to figure out if someone's worked 2 hours or 4 hours, and I don't know if the staff had a chance to even really look at that or not.
I'm not worried about it. I mean, I don't think any of you, I know you quite well, at least I think I do. I'm not worried about the money. It would be an honor.
Makes it easy.
Yeah.
Makes it easy. Any other discussion? Okay, we'll go on to item number five, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 14-433, rotation totalist eligibility requirements. We went through this, I believe, in April, May, and we gave a distance of 10 miles, and there was one company that it was going to affect, so they came in and saw me, and they've been trying to get this done. And so my thought is, don't put a person out of business that's trying. So what I've done is I've taken the original ordinance and just changed the effective date to July 1st, 2026. Ms. Sprinkle.
I remember that couple, and they thought that was really, you know, we were trying to work with them. Do they have a sense of, are they ready to close on property? Is there, do you
They've
have
had a few fall through.
Yeah.
And so this just extends it. And I told them that having a Fairbanks and drive out to Moose Creek to get a vehicle is just not what we want. You've had time to do this. They gave me the three scenarios that fell through, asked me to extend it. I said, I will extend it, but this is as far as we can go. This is as far as I will go.
So currently, are they dragging cars back that far?
Yes, they are.
Uh-huh. Do they?
I would say they're towing cars that far.
Sure, towing. But are they giving a break to those people who have to go that far? By any means?
Their rates seem to be in line with everyone else. We haven't heard complaints about the rates. It's just that I have to go to Moose Creek to get my vehicle.
Yeah. Which is either a taxi cab ride or a...
And they average about one tow per week, it seems like. Okay. They're not the largest. So in my discussions with them, that's what I've found.
So July 1 is a hard date?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll go on to resolution approving the updates to city emergency operations plan, which basically coincides with the next one, which is the ordinance. Mr. Sanders.
Yeah, so the EOP is the one that the council should be seeing every year. A bunch of us every year go through since last year we've been going through it every year. But Chief Carroll made some changes to a section. Mr. Cotter made some changes to one of his sections. Lauren and I went through and made some, you know, grammatical changes throughout the documents, and you know, a few updates here and there. But essentially, it's the same thing that the body saw last year with minor updates.
Any discussion? Ms. Therrien.
I'm kind of confused why we need a resolution plus an ordinance.
They're two separate things. So the EOP is it's something that we're required to have. I've always thought that a resolution for it is a bit much. I think that this could simply be a memo to the council saying, hey, we updated it. It traditionally had been a resolution, so we've kept with that.
Okay.
Mayor,
you got another one.
Mayor?
Yes, Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm sorry. So the ordinance then, is it just affecting Chapter 25? Is that what we're looking at here?
So the two totally separate things. So the ordinance is affecting Fairbanks General Code, and the EOP is the plan that we have to have, you know, that says what we're going to do, like how we're going to stand up the Emergency Operations Center, basically.
But they're the same thing, just separate treatments
to it?
They're
not the same thing. They're two very separate documents. The EOP is just like just think of the EOP as like our policy, and the ordinance is for the Fairbanks General Code.
Okay.
They're not, if you read through them, they're not the same.
All right.
The EOP is way more detailed. It's
that's the million page document we got.
Yeah, it's 300
yeah.
pages.
Okay. Yeah, it was great reading.
You know, this will be introduced next Monday night, so we still have two discussions on it at a city council meeting plus a work session. So again, it's quite extensive, and I would ask y'all to review it. It's available for thought amendment.
It's just a resolution. It'll just have just Monday would be the end of it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Next is the Polaris Building Letter of Interest, and I do not have that in my package.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Ringsted and Ms. Sprinkle, you've brought us here, but let's go through this. The letter of interest requesting LOI is an optional step in the redevelopment process used as a preview of the request for proposal. After much discussion, the recommendation is not for a requested LOI, it's for an RFP. So, Council, what I did was myself, Mr. Ringsted, Ms. Sprinkle, Mr. Sanders went into a room and sort of outlined a process and dates and everything like that. And then I left, and then they finished this off. So, decision point recommendations. The site can either be a lease or a sale. We don't want to restrict that. Lot value. The city council should start considering a minimum value for the property, but should not specify an exact dollar amount in the RFP due to the lack of comparable sales. You know, this is a one and only. Parking garage. The recommendation is for the parking garage to be available for the purchase as long as it is used as a residual grant restrictions are followed. The developer should be allowed to install a sky bridge regardless of whether they buy the parking garage or not. In my questions with Margarita, there's approximately about $1.6 million left on the proration of the grant. So if we sold this, there's a couple steps. One would be if we sold it outright, they would have to, and we didn't want any guarantees with how this would be built or used, they'd have to pay a minimum to the city of Fairbanks of $1.6 million, which we'd have to pay back the grant. This property can be leased, and that does not affect that. Or what we can do is we can sign a letter of agreement, a contract with whoever buys this, And they'd have to guarantee that its use for the next 15 to 20 years would have to be a parking garage, and then we can keep any residual proceeds as long as that guarantee is in place. We'll have Marguerite explain that more to you in the future. City site or full block? While the full block development may be beneficial, the recommendation is for the city not to be involved in the acquisition of additional properties on the block. In this recommendation, the RFP would allow for full block proposals, but the developer would be responsible for securing any additional properties that are needed. Incentives, recommendations for the city council to determine if they want to include any incentives, such as waiving permit fees or offering tax deferment, and include them in the RFP. Likewise, the council does not want to offer incentives. That information should be in the RFP from the beginning. The alternate is to wait for the developers to ask about any incentives, but that would pause and extend the RFP timeline due to issuing an addendum. Constraints, much like incentives, any constraints and requirements such as construction deadlines and not creating a new parking lot should be explicitly defined in the RFP. Evaluation criteria, clearly defined, unbiased evaluation criteria should be included in the RFP. The evaluation of this RFP should be treated like the other city RFPs and follow procurement procedures to ensure the integrity of the process. An evaluation committee should be formed to select the top scoring proposal. As with proposals totaling over $250,000, the city council is the final approval authority for the selection. And on the back of this, you have a proposed schedule, and we've contacted Ed Hovey, and we have a meeting with him, what, Thursday? Okay. And then today's city council work session on the 12th is a private presentation from Corey Rigolatano about potential interim site uses, and that'll be at what used to be the venue, but now it's a T's location. Then from September 13th to September 30th, it's going to be a virtual public open house. They're showing what Corey has done and given the schedule of events, and also this, if it's approved, to move on this Polaris site RFP discussion summary. We want to have RFP first draft available on this by October 15th. And then an RFP review of the work council session on the 21st of October. On the 1st of November, an RFP final draft due. On the 4th of November, RFP city council work session. On the 14th, the RFP is opened. On March 3rd of 2026, the RFP is closed. On March 27th, 2026, evaluation committee scoring due. On April 6th, the city council review top scoring proposal in a special work session. On April 20th, approval of the proposal. On May 1, start of the interim use of site, if not immediately being turned over to the developer. So, Ms. Therrien, then Ms. Brinkle.
I thought you had agreed that anything dealing with the Polaris would be an open meeting, and now it sounds like you, Mr. Ringstad, Ms. Sprinkle, and the Chief of Staff had a meeting in which none of the council was invited to nor noticed. And I thought everything dealing with the Polaris was going to be at the city council level. So I'm really confused as to why this meeting took place without all of us there.
If you could explain.
Yeah. Do you think we could have gotten this done with six people?
Yeah, I think.
I wholeheartedly disagree right there. And this is not set in stone. This is now for everyone to look at. Is there anything here that you disagree with or want to change, Valerie?
I haven't even had a minute to look at it. And I thought that you were going to have us have meetings to discuss all this.
That's what we're doing right now.
Well, I'm not ready to make a decision on this without having more than 5 minutes to look at it.
You're not making a decision on this except for maybe the schedule.
I'm not going to discuss anything with regard to a schedule until we have a work session to deal with it all
together. That's what we're doing right now.
Well, Mr. Ringstad and Ms. Tidwell aren't even here to look at it.
I can't guarantee their being here. Mr. Ringstead had something come up. I do not know the extent of Ms. Tidwell. We can have another discussion on this on Monday. Anything else? Mr. Clayworth.
I think you've done some good work here as for the preliminary. I have some questions about the selection process later on. In March of next year, you're proposing that the RFP be closed. It would be, if I remember the procedure we used the last time, we then had presentations by any of those who responded to the RFP so that you could get, the council as a whole could get a better idea of what they were pitching. And so they all felt like they had a, you know, a bite at the apple. They could sense, you could sense what they really want to do. Because my gut feeling is that the proposals will be quite different from each other. And then after that, the evaluation should be done not by a committee, but by council. So those are my concerns, or more at the end part of the process here. I think we do have to determine if this is going, if our intent is to privatize this property, which is what I hope we do. I want to turn it over to the private sector and put it on the tax rolls. And we make this the statement that we're not, our intent is not to keep this for public use. I'm not a big fan of leasing anything. I like to sell it and be done with it. I don't think the city is in the business of being a landlord, so to speak, or leasing property. But, you know, I could go either way on that, but I prefer an outright sale. Those are just my first comments at looking at this briefly.
let's look at the evaluation committee scoring due. I was not there for that. Ms. Sprinkle, how did you and John and Chief Staff come across that?
I'm not sure that we ultimately agreed that that was the right way to go, but we just put it in here to have this discussion because Bob Pristash says that's how the city has operated on multi-million dollar properties before. I've never done this before, so I'm going to assume that the city often knows better than I do. So I had no dog in that fight. So I'm happy to be talked in or out of that.
Well,
I don't know enough to run a matrix on something like that.
Bob's correct. On most things that we do, they have an evaluation committee and they have to score them. And then it's brought to us via a resolution to okay it or not, and that's fine. But this is a different deal. It's a bigger deal, and I think in that case that I would say that the evaluation process should be the city council at that point after hearing presentations by the groups, because you're going to have very different. I'm hoping we have a lot of response. But don't know, maybe we'll get nothing, who knows. But you're gonna have very different proposals. And I mean, one project could be a $20-30 million project, another one that they're pitching might be a $2 million project. Mm-hmm. And so how do you weight that?
Right, I get you. Sure.
And I would weight it on, I think, community need rather than the price of the project. But if I was on an evaluation committee, you're going to probably go, I'd like to go for the big project because it's more taxes for the city in the end. I mean, that becomes very subjective. And I think we would, in fairness to the people who put the time into doing that, to hear them out, hear what they have to say, and then make a selection.
Where the city council is really going to start weighing in is the RFP. You know, we have a first draft and review at a city council work session. And that's where a lot of this will be explained. I don't know what's going to be in there. We have Ed, who's done this a lot of before, and you each got a copy of what he did with his economic analysis of the site and what can be used there. He's putting this together. You know, we doing an RFP on something like this, who in this building has experience of that. So that's where I think the city council really gets knee deep in this at that time, the RFP, that draft, the review. Ms. Sprinkle.
Mike, when you said we were gonna have, you're gonna have a meeting with Ed Hovey on Thursday, I'm curious, has he already said he recommends an RFP versus an LOI, or is that to be discussed?
No, Eric said that he'd be willing to help us draft an RFP.
Okay.
So. I would say from previous discussions here, it's been generally agreed by the city council that they want an RFP.
Yeah. I'm just throwing that out as a question, because I hadn't heard it from the consultant who we've paid money to talk to.
Yeah, he said he didn't have a problem with the RFP.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Ms. Therrien.
How much did it cost to talk to Ed Hovey and company, and is there going to be an ordinance for us to approve the cost of that, or are you just taking that out of your contingency fund?
Mr. Sanders, would you please discuss that as we did earlier?
Yeah, that's coming out of contingency funds. So it's, I mean, it should be, you know, relatively insignificant, though, compared to the bigger project. We've used them. We used them earlier for doing a feasibility study for the Polaris.
And how much did it cost before?
I'd have to look it up. I don't have it off.
That was $36,000.
I don't think that was I think that was what we budgeted, but I don't think that was what was actually invoiced.
I'd like to see.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm just going to talk about the lease versus sale. To Jerry's concerns, that I thought that. Ultimately, yes, easy to sell, but we were also discussing whether or not leasing to ultimately sell would help us control the space before turning over a deed or any kind of ownership, because we were trying to make sure someone wouldn't land bank it. And if it took them to get to the bank and then have construction underway, there, you know, what was the trigger then to say, okay, now you own the land? We discussed those variables to see if one of these would be better for control. Not that we want to own all of this, but that would be, as I recall, the conversation to say, how can we make sure someone was going to build on that property? And that was where I've left that part of the conversation.
Mr. Clearworth.
The prospect for land banking is real, but I think that could be put in the original RFP that this will not be accepted.
For sure.
And that if they do drag their feet in this and whatever, if they're the winner of the proposal, let's say we love the idea, but the months go by and nothing happens, and something like that, there needs to be a trigger in there for us to take it back.
Absolutely.
And that should be in the fine print of the RFP.
Yes, Mr. Marnie.
I think it's time for me to pipe in. I want to make sure that the council is aware of each one of these events through the city clerk, because sometimes things get lost in the weeds and the schedule's not out or it's not published properly. And two, I think Jerry was right. We have a record of leasing things, but it's a dollar. Oh, we definitely don't want that.
Yeah, we also have a record of foregoing payments.
Yeah.
A couple things in our discussions we looked at. Who could be a user in the government side? And I talked with Pat Pitney, president of the university system, seeing if they had an interest in coming downtown and building anything. And they don't. In fact, they're going to be destructing properties. On the opposite side of things. So I thought, okay, the only other thing you have is maybe the state of Alaska with governmental offices, that'd be the Department of Law, things like that. But a developer can go to them and see if they want office space. So we're not precluding that. If a developer wants to pursue that. Then we looked at value and we said, okay, what is the value of this? This is something that, you know, you don't see ever. So if you take a base value of $50 a square foot, you're looking at an $800,000 plus or minus purchase. Or if you lease it, like the railroad does, do you have it as an annual basis of 8%, which would be about, you know, $6,400, $64,000 a year divided into 12 months. So the thought between everyone in this meeting was, don't confine it. Put it in an RFP, see what comes in, and let the council itself, when you guys get to the RFP, you can confine it there. If you don't want a lease, you put it in there. It's a sale. But we did not want to discount anything or preclude anything. We wanted you to take a look at everything you could and start making decisions. And when you start looking at the RFP that is put together, that's when a lot more questions will come up and it'll be more defined. Ms. Sprinkle?
In a conversation, we were trying to find a similar project that was of the same scope, and we talked about the Raven's Landing. No, sorry, it was the Fairview Manor.
Weeksfield. And,
yes, and as far as how was that process followed? So I think, did we decide to pull that out and look at it? Did we have those numbers to see what happened?
I know that Bob and I researched all that and sent it out to the members of that group before, I mean, months ago.
Yeah. Would it be any help to send it to all? I can't remember. I don't remember that we talked about it.
I didn't find it helpful. I don't know if you guys would or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, Sue, that was a little different animal.
They're all different, right?
Yeah, that one, you had the Raven Landing folks that really were pushing. Originally, they wanted to build it on our snow dump down there by the curling club.
Okay.
And we said no, because we have to have that snow dump. And so we tried to find them another spot, and that was when we got rid of Fairview Manor. That was one of the spots we were working with them on. So it was kind of preordained. It wasn't a wide open process at the time. So that, but this is more like the Marriott property.
Okay.
I think. A question here on the third dot, private presentation?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
That's there's only limited seating in there, so they wanted to invite members of the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, the FEDCO, things like that. You know, I don't know how big the seating is. I'll be meeting with Trina Bailey to see how big that is. And
who's they?
Huh?
Who is they?
Yeah. So the thought was, you can only have, you know, if you want to put this in the hall at Lathrop, you know, but Gorey sort of wanted it this way, which is fine. But you also have it virtual for the next 2-3 weeks after that, available for everyone to walk in there and take a look at this and see what it is. And what it is it's his, what he presented to you last week or last work session. But again, that can be changed. That's why this is on the paper. Ms. Therrien.
I'd like to see us meet again at 5 o'clock on the 8th to go over this in a little bit more detail with the whole council. And I object to any private presentation that isn't going to be noticed to the public. So it just triggers everything that's been going on with the previous Polaris committee, that no one knows what's going on. And I think anything that has to do with the Polaris needs to be noticed. And I'm hoping that we could meet again on the 8th to go over this schedule in a little bit more detail. And what time is this private presentation? I assume you want the council to go and that it be noticed.
Well, no, I don't want the council to go.
But we have the right to go.
I'm being facetious with you, okay?
Yeah.
What time is the meeting?
It was at, it's supposed to be at 6 p.m.
On the 12th.
Yes.
And where?
At the Lathrop Building on 2nd Avenue. I do not know how much they could put in there, but I'll be finding out. The 8th is what?
It's our next council meeting.
Okay.
Mayor.
Yes.
we can talk about this more, I suppose, as we get closer, but if the private presentation on September 12th is going to involve more than three council members, we're going to have to
notice it.
Yeah. So either we, I don't, you know, whatever you guys want to do, if you want it to be first come, first serve, or if you do want to have more than three, you know, it can be noticed. A lot of options there. We just got to make sure we're following the Open Meetings Act.
Okay.
Well, I've always thought that six minds
are better than two.
Mm-hmm. We'll be meeting again on this on Monday, and I want you to take a look at the 12th, and let me know if that's a, you know, this does not have to happen. But what we want to do is get Corey's presentation out there for different entities of economics here in downtown Fairbanks. I'm sure the Downtown Association will be invited, the Chamber of Commerce, FEDCO. That's what we're looking at as a whole for Corey's presentation that he gave you. And give the proposed schedule that would be given by Trina Bailey, and just go from there. Then have it as a recycling item at her location there. Ms. Sprinkle.
I want to make sure that we all talk about Corey's presentation. He's making the presentation, but he had help making that thing happen. So people like me, and I only say that because I don't get paid to do that. It's volunteer time. I put a lot of time in it as well. I'm not a salary. I just feel like that has to be acknowledged when we're saying Corey's presentation. It is a group that you, in fact, has worked with during our bigger Polaris group. So I just want to make sure that we all know that this is a group effort, I think.
Yes, and there's been no expenses on this either. This has all been volunteer.
And he's done a beautiful job.
Yeah.
So I'm not downgrading that in any way.
Any other questions on this, Mr. Clayworth?
I would just say that really doesn't have much to do with the RFP or anything like that. That maybe that just be taken off of this for discussion. I mean, Corey can do whatever he wants, and they can make any presentations they want to do. But that's really not with a.
Yeah, I did not make this proposed schedule or this document up. I would not have put private presentation there from Corey. I would have put more of an invited open house that he wants to do, and
so
in that direction.
Is the game plan then at our council meeting upcoming that we get into this and make our final recommendations so that the staff can look into starting to develop the RFP? Is that the game plan?
Is that enough time for you guys?
What's that now?
Is our game plan to look at this one more time on the 8th?
Yes, it is.
And make our final recommendations?
Yeah, adjustments, edit recommendations.
That Bob and whoever can start working on the RFP?
And by then, Ed Hovey, Mike, and Bob will have met on the RFP and can give more information and input on that.
Okay.
Anything else on this? Ms. Therrien.
Is there going to be something on our agenda to approve this proposed schedule? Is there going to be a resolution presented by the mayor?
Mm.
I think it's really important that the public knows what we're doing and that we have.
I concur there will be a resolution on this, but it's going to be a document that's going to be amenable or adoptable or editable. It'll be available for resolution vote.
And I'd like to ask the mayor that there be no more private meetings of a portion of the council without public notice.
No.
Well, I really.
I can have two people in a meeting. I've done that, Valerie. You and Jerry could have done the same thing with two people. Simple as that. I will not limit the powers of the mayor. I will come to you with approval and things that I'm doing.
Well,
such as a resolution with this that Ms. Sprinkle and Mr. Ringstead put together.
Well, Your Honor, I think that you're going against what you said, and that the Polaris information would be public now, and you're not doing that.
This is being published. This is in front of you. This is a working document, editable by what you want to do.
It's kind of after the fact.
Huh? Yeah, it's after the fact.
The thought was put something on paper for you to put for you to look at. That's what this is. It's on paper for you to look at, edit, review, and approve. That's what this was supposed to do. Ms. Sprinkle and Mr. Ringsted put together this proposed schedule and a lot of the items on it. I brought them through the different variables in there on lease, sale, lot value, parking garage, construction of full block. They went into the incentive constraints, evaluation criteria, and proposed schedule. I was there for about one third of the meeting.
I know, I walked in on it.
You did?
You were gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, the fun part about this, is I can't control two city council members getting together and doing something like this. But we brought it back to you for your review, edit, and approval. Is there any disagreement on that?
Well, I was under the impression, as Valerie, that there would be no more of these undercover meetings.
I would not classify this as an undercover meeting. This was more of a planning session for us to present something to you for you to approve. That's what this was. And the thought was, and it wasn't brought up by me, but six city council members trying to make something like this would be here for about 3 to 6 hours. So that's where we came from. Any other questions?
I have a question, Mayor. Am I to schedule a work session for Monday, or are we doing a resolution on Monday?
Let's put this on the agenda with a resolution so we can discuss it again and take any edits on this. We can have this under Mayor's report and then have a resolution following that from okay. What is
Mayor,
finished up.
Why yeah. Can't we have a 5 o'clock work session to go over this before the meeting?
If you want to do that, we can do that too.
Yes, I would like that.
Okay. Let's do a 5 o'clock work session. Any other discussion? Okay. Finance Committee, Mr. Sanders.
So Marguerite is on leave right now. So we met last Thursday. The general fund balance is 14.1 million. The cash flow is 19.8 million. We were concerned about cash flow, but it came back up as we knew it would. The Finance Committee also discussed a lottery idea that came from Public Works. We had a pretty lengthy discussion about that and starting to look into, we're going to continue that discussion, looking into the legality of it and such. And then our next Finance Committee meeting is September 25th.
Any questions for Mr. Sanders? Seeing none. Council member comments. Mr. Marner, you're over there by yourself.
No, good meeting.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I want to say thank you for a conversation regarding my proposed ordinance for the signage. I I'm not looking to poke a bear. I feel like in my role as a council person, I want to share these conversations, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't feel like like Valerie's pointing out, I don't know everything. So I'm just sharing that I appreciate that I can bring this to my team and discuss. So I really appreciate that. Now, to that point, I feel that the Polaris seems to be a point of contention, and I'm really sad about that because I would hope that you think I'm trying to be really, really fair and honest and open to the conversations we're having. I would never think to be anything less than that, but I hear what you guys are saying, and I'm sorry that you are feeling left out. I do think that the mayor did want to say something about how do we put stuff on this on paper for a decent, robust conversation versus just, okay, let's open the door and have conversations. It was, a legitimate idea to say, let's focus on the important parts of this RFP/LOI. So I feel very my heart hurts a little bit where we've left this. So I will. That's my comment.
Ms. Therrien.
I guess as a comment, I thought anything dealing with the Polaris was going to be publicly noticed. And when there was a meeting between the mayor, Ms. Sprinkle, and John Ringstad, that none of us knew anything about, that there's just a lot of uncertainty as what's going on, and that the council, I thought, was going to be involved in all this. And again, we're having a meeting that none of us knew about except two council members. So I just disagree with the process.
Mr. Clearworth.
Well, I'll throw my two cents in on that. I mean, I actually thought about doing something similar, a time schedule, and laying out the LOI versus the RFP and all that. And I'm glad to see we're heading towards an RFP. Thank you for that. I mean, any two of us or any three of us can get together and do something like this if we wanted to. That's legal. So you could be upset that some people are meeting, and I wasn't in that meeting either, and I didn't know about it, but I'm not upset that they met. At least I've got a groundwork that I can critique and work on. But that's the way the system works. You can legally do these things. Anyway, I didn't comment on ordinance number 6325. I'm going to propose that is the succession to office of acting mayor ordinance. As you know, at the last meeting, I had several comments on that. I'm going to be working up a substitute for that. One of the major problems I see with the ordinance now is, and Tom and I talked about it briefly, we have never defined what the term vacant means. Yeah. And that has to be defined. Because if we had, I remember years ago a city council member who was laid up at the hospital for a long duration, and that was before we allowed telephonic communications, telephone then or what we do today, and the council had sympathy on the individual, but they ended up violating the code as to attendance in meetings. And you have to have somewhere in code as to the definition of what vacating an office means, and the council would have to affirm that vacation. That's a pretty serious move to vacate a mayor, especially one that doesn't want to go at the time. And so that needs to be defined, and that's really not in here. I still have major heartburn with the fact that if Mayor Prusa to vacate the office today, and I were to take over, that I'm going to get paid the entire salary and all the benefits that he gets. That's not right. I should not be entitled to that, because I'm not going to give it, 12, 14-hour days like mayors have to do. Been there, done that. And it is very time-consuming. Could not do that. And I should not receive that kind of a compensation. We need to come up with a different idea for that. So I just want to give you a heads up that we'll work on some kind of an amended version. Hope you take a look at it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clayworth. It is my sad duty to inform you that we lost our city hostess last week. Ms. Seelid passed away. Yeah. We've had a history of very remarkable city hostesses while I've been on the city council. And the city mayor, we had Ms. Ruby Riddle, and we had Ms. Seelid. Ms. Seelid, I've known since about 5 years old. She used to drive me to pick us up from kindergarten at Denali. And so if you join me to stand for a moment of silence to respect her.